It's 5:16 and we'll start the work session. There wasn't a whole bunch of stuff on our agenda this time, but we got parking lot chip seal, and we were talking about different things with the parks, but I don't know if you saw the paper, and this was from, Wednesday. Top lawmakers predict layoffs after tax fails. And they're, right now, the county's saying that they're $100 million in the hole. Information we got is that some of the state funding might, like we had worried about, might be in jeopardy as well. So when we started looking at some of these things to do with the parks, we came up with some ideas, but the revenues that Tony had, and it was $30,000, right? We're probably not going to see any or all of that. We won't even get a quarter of that. So we're looking at a $22,000 shortfall just in the budget right there. So when we were talking, even though we were looking at different things to do, I don't think right now we should, and talking over Dave, we had a conversation. I don't think we should be spending any money that we don't really have to spend. I just don't think that our financial situation is stable enough where we know what type of money we're going to be bringing in, and I think we should really go to an austerity budget and just not spend money unless we have to.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. I just want to make sure I understand what you said about the revenue from your budget. You projected 30.
Actually, you projected 36.
Oh, 36?
But you also projected spending money to bring that in, so we're not at staff, so there's got to be a savings of cost. You're not hiring people.
Right.
So what's the difference? The 36 was contingent upon spending how much in staff?
Well, I mean, for instance, we were talking $25,000 for the spring park staff. We're not going to spend that.
So 25 from 36, so now you've got $11,000 short.
Then we're talking $13,000 budgeted for water, and we're not going to spend that.
Yeah, so I'm not saying to do anything different, but you're not losing that $30,000 revenue. In fact, you're probably going to be in the black because we're not spending money. And you have, it's not just the spray park staff, it's your entire program staff. You're not hiring any of those people.
We're not doing park attendance right now.
So the parks department is probably going to be a net plus.
Well, we're still doing some things. I mean, they still got, you know, they're still fixing stuff. And
But all the summer staff, Bob, that's not being hired.
No. Right.
So I don't know what that number is.
He didn't have that many summer staff in his program and his budget other than the spray park.
Okay. All
right. Right. Well, I mean, if you take programming money, and that was $18,000 in programming.
Oh, he's talking about staffing.
The park attendance. I mean, that's $20,000 right there.
That you're not spending.
Right.
That we won't be spending.
Okay, so I mean that's good. I mean, it's terrible that we're in this thing, but at least financially, we're not going to take a hit.
Well, one of the reasons why I came to the supervisor and Jeff and saying, I know times are tough right now, and things are really tight, and they're going to be probably tight in the next couple of years. And talking with the supervisor, we're tightening down in the parks department, and we're cutting back on some things. But there are some things that they asked me to work on or look at and try to fix and maintain. And there's coming across some things that we could do. One being the tennis wall, another being some fencing. We just came across some electrical work that needs to be done. So there's ways that we can use the money that was budgeted for this year and try to do some of those maintenance housekeeping things now, because we know things are going to get tight in the next couple of years.
I think things are going to be tight this year, and that's because of all the unknowns. And when I heard you guys talking about this chip seal project yesterday, that's when I said, well, wait a minute.
So the only advantage to chip seal in the parking lot right now is that our oil prices are lower than I've ever seen them. And the parking lot is, it's indeed, that would be the big advantage of doing the chip seal.
So if oil prices went back to where they were last year, how much more does that add to that project?
About $8,000.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oil prices are down by, 40%. Last year we were paying, right now oil is at $229. Last year we were paying $330.
The parking lots were supposed to be done in 2018. It's now 2020.
Well,
I'll go back to my comment that I said to you guys yesterday was, whoa, wait a minute. Why all of a sudden is this being sprung on us when I didn't hear anybody talk about it at budget time that hey, we need to be looking at the parking lot over there.
No, I'm pretty sure we talked about that.
We did.
Yeah, we talked about that. Joe didn't even want to consider it.
Extension, and that got taken off the table too.
Yeah, Joe didn't even want to consider it.
Well, it's not in the budget. I mean, it's I don't know where you go with this. Do you want to do it or not? I mean,
well, the decision is, do you guys want to do it?
Well, right now, I think that we should, if we know we're going to have to do it, I mean, I didn't know it was an $8,000 difference. So that's something I think we'd have to consider. Because if it's $8,000 more and we can get it for $12,000 this year. But
yeah, we're 14. This has got some cushion in it because he's got a full day with a chipper and a roller. And the estimate from Sucope was $14,128. But he's got $3,900 in here for a chipper and a roller. And it's not going to take more than a half a day to do that parking lot. So you're down $2,000 from that. You're a little over $12,000 plus whatever Jerry charges us for trucking.
For the whole parking lot?
For the both the north and south parking lots, yeah.
And the entrance.
Yeah, an entrance trap.
And doing that little bump thing too? No.
We would patch up the where the utility crossing was. Yes. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah.
I mean, because the oil costs, the oil costs have even gone down from what they were when we reevaluated this when you signed the 284 form back in April. So
this is the problem with that, though. This is a problem with spending any money. And Dave had to bring me back down to earth. And when we start looking at how much money we aren't going to have, first thing we got to do is how much next year is it going to cost us to operate just to keep the doors open, keep the lights on, and provide the essential services to the town. And then, how much money are we going to bring in revenues? Now, next year, we don't know. We don't know what we're going to be bringing in the parks or any of these other, in the clerk's office or with the permitting or whatever. And then, how much is it going to cost to keep the lights on? And the difference is in taxes. So, we don't want to raise taxes. So, I think we should try and get as big a cushion this year as we can, because next year could even be worse.
I'm with you, Bob. When was the last time the parking lot was chip sealed?
2013.
I know you guys hate it, but I keep referring to my experience in parks when I was told no so many times. The last time the Salt Museum parking lot was paved, was chip sealed, was something like 1988, and by 2018 it still hadn't been done again. So, and we live with it, and that's the busiest park. You get more cars there in Onondaga Lake Park than you ever get in these parking lots. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, it's the right thing to do, but I'm counting pennies right now.
I think you're right.
I think we gotta look at this year, because we're gonna be behind a year. So no matter we got our mortgage tax in, and that is pretty much consistent, correct me if I'm wrong.
I put a thing in your box, I don't know if you guys had a chance to pull it out. We got the notice for the first payment for the mortgage tax. We got $261,000, which sounds great, but that was for the 6 month period ending in March, and we all know what has happened since then, so who the heck knows what the next payment's going to be, and how much.
That was up about $65,000.
How much is going to be cut?
Which is nice.
So,
but we don't know.
But again, there's an unknown. We don't know how much the second mortgage payment is going to be. We already know that he's not. Parks isn't going to be bringing in revenue that we budgeted. Ale's not going to probably bring in all the revenue that he's budgeted. We don't even know yet. We've been trying to find out for the last few days, are we going to get CHIPS funding? That's not even a given.
In fact, that from, I had a conversation with the supervisors today, and after we were talking about all these type of things, I mean, and talking with people that are in a position that know about CHIPS funding, CHIPS funding is not a given yet at all. And especially now, I mean, before we had the COVID, now we got rioting in New York City and all these other states. You're talking billions of dollars. I mean, so they're where you can probably double the amount of money that the state was going to be in the hole, and they were in the hole $16 billion. That's going to be in the billions. Where's the money going to come from? And the county, they're already doing a buyout with their employees, and there'll be a few people leaving anyway, but then on top of that, they're talking about layoffs. This isn't good for us, and I think that that's where we should be with this.
Just as a point of information, one of our sister towns that I'm representing was doing a project that they had funding from the state for, and what they do is they submit the bills that they spend and the state reimburses them. The state said, we're not reimbursing it right now. So they just, not that they won't do it,
right.
They're not doing it right now. So I don't know when that's gonna happen.
No, that was the same response we got when we inquired about the 50,000.
Right, yeah. That's right, the 50,000 for the parks.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you'll get it eventually, but what does that mean? 3 years from now, 5 years? And that's why that project on Willett Parkway, we didn't move forward with it. That was almost a $500,000, you know, $440,000.
It was very wise not to move forward.
That would have been ugly for us. So I think that's where we should be, and just keep counting our pennies as much as we can this year.
You got my support on that, though.
I think you're right. We need to go to an austerity budget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Jeff, too.
I agree as well.
Okay.
And it, you know, and also, however we let the folks, the community know that we're doing this, we're not doing it for political reasons, but it's a reassurance to the community that you know, we're taking care of things here at home. And that's a good thing for folks to hear, because I think everybody's like saying the world's falling apart, but you know what? Iceland is doing, we're taking care of our own.
Well, they're talking about adding an additional tax on the schools are going to be hit. So I know the budget came out, and I didn't have a chance to look at it. I don't know if it went up, or do you know, Pete?
We don't know yet. But
the 9th, right? June 9th.
Right.
I mean the proposal. Oh, you don't know what the...
We don't know yet.
Okay. So, but there's a good likelihood that's going to go up, because they're going to lose some state funding. They're talking about adding in an additional energy tax on citizens that they haven't done since the 60s. That's another 4% on top. So, you know, people are gonna be getting taxed over and over. So we shouldn't be part of that equation. I think we should hold the line and not increase taxes. And the only way to do that is to save the money this year, so we have the money for next year.
Yeah, I think we should. I know obviously, I've been here for 29 years, and we have a history of kicking the can down the road for things. And have been doing that a lot. And that's why we're in the shape we are on some of our roads and things. But I think this is a time where we need to be.
Yeah, and we were moving forwards with not doing that, with straightening things out. But this is a one-in-a-lifetime event.
This is a different world than it was 4 months ago.
Yeah. This is something that nobody wanted to see. So, okay. Good with that. With the spray part opening up for mechanical equipment, one of the things I talked with Al about is that even though we're not opening up the spray part for people to use, my question to Al was, do we need to open that up just to make sure that everything is running properly and things like that? Why don't you just go? go ahead with your.
So if we're going to open it, we need to put the back, reinstall the backflow preventer and the pressure relief valve. We will need to get the backflow preventer recertified. There's a fee to that before Aqua will turn the water back on for the spray park. The only thing that I could might be a little bit worried about would be the actuators for the valves in the control panel not being exercised. But with that being said, we have a 3-year mechanical warranty from the manufacturer on that stuff. So in addition to having the backflow preventer recertified, we get the labor to get all the antifreeze out, put all the spray nozzles back in that we took out last fall, run it, then do the same thing over again to winterize it before next winter. Like I said, the only thing I would be a little worried about would be those actuator valves. But like I said, they're under a 3-year warranty period, so it's not...
So I don't think I would do anything. Whether we test it tomorrow or test it in 3 weeks from now, something probably happened over the winter. What I would suggest is when we get some level of confidence, if we're going to ever be able to open it this summer, we'll know way ahead of time. And then we do what you just said. But to just do that and then to shut it off again and then to...
Re-winterize it in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, just wait.
Well, the only thing that I questioned with Al was that we didn't get... Or there wasn't a bond purchased to cover that. So I asked Al, are you confident that the contractors that did the job, because we'd have to rely on them to do it, are you confident that we have a 3-year contract, would they follow through on the warranty? And he said that they do. So the question is, if as long as everyone, because I wasn't part of that, if you're confident that we're good with it. I don't see any reason to spend the money to open it up and get it going because it's going to cost a few thousand dollars anyway.
Yeah, I mean, just the labor and re-inspection of the Agape gets us a $35 turn-on fee for the water too. But I mean, it's by the time you're all said and done, you got a couple days of labor, certification of the backflow preventer is a couple $100. The fee for Aqua to turn the water service back on,
it's not worth it. I mean, and I'm getting more and more disappointed. If I had a bet, guys, I'd say we're not opening that spray park at all this year.
Well, that's another thing. Nobody that I talked to from the towns, and I believe the city is not opening up their pools. I think that this is one of those things that we should follow suit because there's enough information out there that we can't be confident that people will be safe in there. And, I think that we would be, the liability on our part would be too great to open that up. What do you think, Tony?
It's worth you having a one-on-one conversation with Ryan McMahon saying, Ryan, we're thinking about not opening, but do you see any window from your perspective? Just have that conversation.
Yeah, if I can get it. He's been pretty busy.
A little busy.
I got a standing, his secretary knows. There's been two meetings that's been canceled and moved off, and I haven't been able to do that. So if I can do that, I certainly will do it.
Yeah, but we have a little bit of a hook there with Sue being head of the LRC as well as being a friend and his chief of staff. So... just have that conversation, and if you get the sense that there's probably no likelihood, then keep the place shut. You don't even have to re-winterize it. Just go through.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's a day's labor to winterize that.
You don't have to.
And you're a solid day and a half to get it up and running.
Maybe this spring of 2021, a couple of more things will have broken, but we're still under warranty.
And I don't, like I said, the only thing that I would be worried about would be those actuator valves not being moved for that long a period of time, the gasket on and going. But that's from a park standpoint, that's not the expensive part.
So, Al, a couple of things. One, is the warranty contingent upon actually using this thing? Because they also know
don't use it, it breaks.
I'd have to ask. I don't see
just something to check.
Yeah, yeah.
Secondly, how long does it take to open it up? Because I wouldn't want to go through all of this, but if we found out that, wait a minute, we're going to open up in 2 weeks, I'd want to be ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a
long,
day. I mean, it's a solid day and a half labor. Yeah, right. It's not an insurmountable task. It's just a matter of, do we want to spend the labor to do it?
Okay. But that's nothing. A day and a half, if it works.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
know if we need to buy it. We can get it up and running quick.
Yeah.
But as of today, every town in Onondaga County is not opening up.
Right. Right.
They're not running the programs. They're not opening up their pools. They're not opening up their spray parks, including the city, as of today.
Yeah, I get that. I just, you know.
Tony, maybe you know.
If they find out, we are, because things are changing all the time. So if we found out in, you know, mid-July, wait a minute, if we can, I want to.
Yeah, then you have a day. How come day camps are open? What's going on with day
camps? That's an excellent question.
Where's it coming from?
I don't know.
Because day camps are opening,
yeah.
I don't quite understand it, because that's
where?
Definitely a Onondaga County.
In what?
Yeah,
town?
I saw that.
Yeah,
as well.
Central New York, they're open.
I mean,
in
that
town?
Means town.
I think day camps for like the Y for more of a daycare, mm-hmm. for parents that are going back to work.
Well, maybe you could.
But all day camps would have to be regulated by the health department. That's another thing too. If you're not regulated by the health department, you can't open. And they have to. When we ran our summer playground program, I had to give lists of things of how I ran it, emergency action plans, all that kind of stuff that the health department required for us to get our, basically our license to run and operate.
Tony, yeah. Would you be able to make some phone calls and find out what is going on with day camps? Just find out, like, who's opening, what's the parameters, what kind of day camps are opening?
Right now, Camillus looks like they're opening, Onondaga looks like they're opening. I've been in contact with some of the directors on that, and that's the topic right now. Is what to do. The big thing is a lot of parents use summer day camp programs for child care services, and they can write that off on their taxes and get.
And we don't do day camps.
We don't. We have it. Yes.
Right.
That might be a different thing, because when I talked to them today, and this was just today, we had that conversation, our Thursday phone conference. All their programs, all their parks programs. No, to the town, nobody was running.
Well, then
so this must be like a daycare kind of thing, which we don't do.
We don't do it.
Yeah, we don't do it. So I don't know about that. I didn't ask them because we don't do it. But the parks programs, nobody. Parks programs, pools, nothing. They weren't opening up any of them. Because the CDC... and the health department regulations are so restrictive. You know, just for all of that, it's unbelievably restrictive. Yeah, bathrooms. That's every
once every hour.
Every half hour, I thought they said.
Oh, I thought it was once. I think it's one. Once
could.
Every. I think it's once every hour. You got
okay.
I
know it was something. Something that
we'd
was,
have to open our bathrooms, we'd have to literally put somebody on full time wiping down bathrooms
all day long. Yeah,
that's what it's going to take.
Yeah,
unless they relieve, you know, lower some of those requirements when we get into stage four.
Yeah, well, I think if anything, they're gonna keep them in. I don't think they're lowering the requirements for the cleaning and things, because they've been really jacking that up. Okay, moving on. The drainage district in Amelia Park.
So we have, I got a call, drainage complaint over Amelia Park, went and checked it out. Definitely an issue. We've got essentially five lots that run through one guy's lot with no easement, and unfortunately the water's running right over his leach field and causing him some issues. In addition to that, I found several pipes that are at the end of their service life, and there's no bottoms in them. They're starting to collapse. I've got some sinkholes coming out, coming to the surface around the discharge control structure to the stormwater management area. I called in a dig safe ticket to get utilities marked so I can try to get a better estimate of where we're going to be at for repair of these facilities. right now, we're looking at a pretty easily $40,000 project. Unfortunately, the drainage district has about $6,500 in as a balance. We're facing this in a lot of drainage districts from a revenue side compared to the age of the infrastructure. This corrugated steel pipe is getting just crushed by the salt that we use. I mean, Amelia Park, the top of Amelia Park is only, I think that was 88, 89 when it was built. So it's really not that old. It's a little over 30 years old, but the bottoms of the pipes are gone. I just want you guys to be aware of it. Before the next meeting, I'll have a tighter estimate put together on what we're looking at that we have to spend. And then we need to decide where we're going to go. In all likelihood, we're probably going to need to do a band to cover some of these costs.
Well, you're going to have to. You don't have any money.
In all likelihood, unless we're going to just delay it or try to raise the fee big time for a few years.
The way this will work, if we do it, which we should do, then they just have to pay over the next 30 years for this.
Well, I don't know if that might be, I don't know if they'd do it 30, because it's $40,000. You got
what, 15?
I was thinking do it at 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's, there's no choice here. You got to do it.
Yeah, I mean.
And they have to pay for it.
Well, one of the things we have to do is start looking at this long-range planning, because when Al and I were talking about these things, that Amelia Park isn't the only drainage district that's having this issue. So we're going to have to look at some long-range planning to address some of these things, and so that we can get some reserves, get some reserve accounts, set up some reserve accounts, which we can do for the drainage districts, Brett.
How many houses are in here?
No.
Amelia Park has 58 units, Dave.
Or no.
59 and a half, is that? Yeah. 49 and a half. But that one last unit that was there, one last lot that wasn't built on, is being built on now, so it'll go up by a half unit once it's issued.
I mean, I hate, the beauty of the districts is, got a problem, the district has to pay for it. So you can't just put it off. I mean, the work, it's not, you're not being capricious, you're not being arbitrary. The pipes have collapsed, you've got water cascading over someone's drain street.
Leach field.
Fix it. You got no choice.
Okay.
I mean, that's only my opinion.
Well, I don't think we have a choice. We gotta fix it, and there's no money there, so we're gonna have to come up with the money. I mean, we're gonna have to bond for it and do it. I mean, right now,
there's no
way around it. We gotta fix it.
Yeah, it's an issue.
Can't dig a trench out.
What's that?
Can't dig a trench.
One of them would be a canyon, because the pipe that comes out of the catch basin that's completely gone is about 13 feet in the ground. Need a retaining wall for that one.
The revised intermunicipal agreement, I have a copy here, but Tony can explain that.
We previously approved this, but there's just some wording changes with regard to basically what happens if the person who goes over, let's say Tim goes to the Van Buren and he gets hurt, who pays and what, which workers' compensation covers it. So that's all. Those are the only changes there.
Where is that section talking about that?
Section.
That's the changes.
Is that the one I sent you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So that's it? This is incorporated in this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can, if you want to do a resolution, you can, but we've already approved it. So all we need to do is sign it.
Good.
Van Buren's got to sign it, and Baldwin's got to sign it. Great. All the attorneys are in agreement.
Great. So, are we done with that?
Yeah, it just, you know, we talked about it. We already okayed it. We already had a resolution to enter into an agreement, and all they're doing, they just clarified the wording. So when we talked, we didn't see any reason to do another resolution. It's just the same one. And so if nobody has a problem with that, then we'll just move forward.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So if our codes officer is doing something for the town of Van Buren and he gets hurt, you're saying that our workers' comp insurance will cover him? That's what this says?
Say that again.
Under number four. Number four. It says each municipal corporation shall be responsible for injury to its own CEO when said CEO is providing cooperative code services to another party if it is a workers' comp injury. We probably need to check with Parker to see if our employee is covered for a work injury when he's working for a different town.
You would think their town comp would be covered because they're
paying. Say that.
I know. He's being paid by them.
I did.
He's employed by them.
I didn't have a chance.
At that time of injury.
Shot. Yeah.
Doesn't it say that?
Should be responsible for the CEO to another party.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that means yeah. 10.
Yeah, we.
I can did something over in that mirror and he got hurt while he was over there doing it.
But he's out of
touch. He's like the way it is. So
he's he's not covered under the work. I'd be covered by our workers.
I'll wait until we're done.
Yeah, I understand that. But our workers' comp carrier to cover him. He's not actually.
He's subcontracted working for the day.
If that's part of his job, and we say go over here and do the job, he's working for us. So
he's not subcontracted. We're paying him as an employee. We're
just but we're getting reimbursed by them.
Not necessarily.
No, we're not. No.
Only if that's the arrangement.
Right.
We're saying to him, go to Van Buren. We get paid by Lysander today, but go and do their work.
And I'm using their Van Buren's engineer, you know, because I mean it's just for a short period of time, so I don't think that.
We don't want to get into the money. We're paying our. Employees.
But that's a good point. We got to make sure that our insurer he should cover him, right?
If you have an employee, we send Tony Birkinshaw out to do a job someplace. He gets hurt while he's doing it.
Right.
He's our employee. He gets workers' comp.
And it's just like when you do, the city police calls for help, the towns and villages, and the county sheriff goes, and they if they end up getting hurt, then the municipality covers their employees.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
That's
fine. Yeah. Or Tony goes to a meeting outside of the county, gets hurt, he's covered.
Absolutely.
He's still our employee.
Yeah, but that's different. He's actually representing the town.
Well, I just wonder if that's why.
Yeah, that's why we get the agreement to say he's doing the work over there at their request and our consent. So it's not like he's doing the work just for them. No.
Okay.
He's doing it because we agreed. I think it's fine.
I like it. So I got a quick question for us. Do you know, when we can invite the public back?
No, I don't know. They haven't opened that up yet, and nobody knows yet.
I'm just wondering why. I mean, we can socially distance or ask the public.
Because right now, the governor's executive order is limiting meetings to 10 people. So we have 10 right now. You know, I mean, as soon as we can, we will, but. That executive order is still in place.
Right,
ten. And if you look right here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah.
Wow.
And we have 11 now.
What's that?
We got 11 now.
I'll go.
I'm just utility.
Oh, never mind. Tony left.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. I was going to say, just go.
I didn't know Bert.
Yeah. So, and then even with, now we open up the town, you know, we make sure there's no more than 10 in there, you know, when they come in.
Did everybody fill out a form at the door, a visitor questionnaire? No, that has to, by law, that has to be filled out by anybody coming into the building. So make sure you fill that out and sign the bottom and return that to me, please, and I'll give it to Nancy in the morning. Thank you.
Pete, thank you.
And anybody else?
Is there separate forms?
Yeah.
Grab one for Pat.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I don't need one.
David, you're set. Al, you're set.
I'm good. Sign my certificate every day.
Every day.
Yay.
What about if you don't know? Yeah.
Is that all right?
Let me check.
It's right on that little shelf on the
That's a lot better.